I think that we'll get started. There may be a few others arriving. But shall we bow in prayer? Father, we know that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And we ask your Spirit now to help us each in our own circumstances to make you the Lord of our lives. Help us to understand how to face our daily life and find contentment and find fulfillment. We thank you that you've made each of us as individuals and you have special things for us and you know all that's happening. So we commit now ourselves to you and especially our hearts that they might be open to what you want to tell us from your word and from one another. We thank you that you are in control. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Millie Hopkins. I know some of you and some of you I do not. They ask that I introduce myself, and I think I've known about the Navigators all my life. I started working in the Navigator office after I'd already done some Navigator studies. But while I was at BIOLA, Bible Institute of Los Angeles, and the Navigator office was next door, and I started working part-time, and I've been with them ever since. So that's been a long time. I became Lorne Sanney's secretary. He's our general director. When he was vice president, and when Dawson Troughton passed away, he succeeded him as president, and I just kept on. So I've been here kind of at the nerve center of the Navigators all my life, and I love it. And the Lord has had his own special plans. I didn't plan it this way. I was going to be out on a mission field, or I was going to be doing this. I certainly was not going to be stuck behind a desk. But the Lord knew my capabilities, and he knew where I would best fit, and he knew what was best. And so just year by year and day by day, he's kept me right here. So as we're talking now about on the subject of fulfillment, and I hope that that's the subject all of you came here intending to discuss. If not, why, there's another workshop upstairs and there are other places. But developing a lifestyle of contentment. Now, I personally see it from a single person's viewpoint. But there are others here who see it from the married person's viewpoint or from other circumstances. So this is a workshop, and I want you all to contribute, and I hope that we can make it that way so that we can learn from one another. But whether we're single or married or whatever, we know that God's word is true, and we can stand on that. And so that's the kind of the note on which I want to take off. Fulfillment is really an elusive term. How do you know when you're fulfilled? And once you gain fulfillment, does it last? So these are some things that kind of concern all of us. And when we talk about fulfillment in this course, it's going to be personal fulfillment. There are other workshops on social adjustments and issues as they relate, you know, to others. But now we're talking about ourselves or our family or friends or ways that we can counsel individuals. So this is personal fulfillment that we're going to be talking about. And so to be sure that we're all on the same wavelength from a Christian personal viewpoint, I'd like to know a little bit about what fulfillment means to you. And for the sake of this, I may do some repeating because they do want the tapes to go out. So, but what would it mean to you to be fulfilled? We talk about it. You know, it's a word that's tossed around all the time. And the women's lib have really taken it up. That a person should be fulfilled. But from your viewpoint, now, what would it mean? What would it take for you to be fulfilled? Yes?
Complete.
Very good. Having an eye quiet. quiet spirit inside and an identity in Jesus Christ. Very good. Yes. What you're doing right now on a daily basis is in the right direction. Very good.
So therefore, I would be at peace in my life on a daily basis, every direction
at peace. Okay?
I think the scriptures mention being filled with the love of God. And I think fulfillment has to do with not so much circumstances or the environment we find ourselves, but whatever the circumstance or environment.
Very good. Magnify Him, the love of God, in your daily circumstances. Mm-hmm. Yes. A realization of who you are in Jesus Christ. Yes.
So, along with that, goes with having a sense of being worthwhile in my relationships with people, or my job, or my relationship with the Lord.
A sense of being worthwhile in your various relationships. All of these are good. Yes? That He's brought you where you are and He delights in you. Very good. Psalm 18:19.
For me, it's having God's peace and joy through the circumstances because you're experiencing His presence.
Peace and joy in the circumstances because of His presence. All of these have been very good, and I think we know where we're headed. That's very good. And I hope that you will share, because as a wife and mother, and each person is an individual, we all have our own circumstances. So we can be a real help to each other. Just this week, I saw a prayer letter that came into our office from one of our staff. It was from John Carroll down in Argentina. And their conditions are not the best there. But he was talking about his wife. Most of the prayer letter concerns his wife this time. And so he says, struggles? Yes, like the rest of us, she has a couple. Sometimes she wonders if her life is really accomplishing much of eternal significance. So much is involved in just the mundane effort to keep a home running smoothly and the kids and me in good health and clean clothes. She also struggles with the desire to meet with her limited resources, the expectations of those who see her as some kind of a spiritual giant who can handle any request effortlessly. But the bottom line, all in all, she is triumphant. The kind of person, according to John, described in Hebrews 11:38, the world is not worthy of her. Neither am I. That's the grace of God, isn't it? But that expresses often, I think, the housewife particularly, the things that she has. Well, the handout has sort of an outline of where we're going. And there are a couple of pages of that. And then there are some things we're going to do in smaller groups or individually. And then in the very back is a bibliography. It's not very large, but the books mentioned are over on the table if you want to just browse through them afterward, why you might find something of interest there. Okay. As you can see by the outline now, we're going to talk a little bit about hindrances to Christian fulfillment. And someone already mentioned circumstances and how easily they come in to get us sidetracked. Something happens and, ooh, we're uptight. or how can I get out of this daily grind? The circumstances of this life really do get to us. There's no doubt about that. We're all subject to that. And whether it's an artist who has to earn a living, so he feels like his God-given talents are in art, but how's he going to earn a living in the meantime? Or somebody wants to go to school and there's no money. Or a wife may want to give to the church and her husband objects. I mean, in varying degrees, we all face this. The cares of this world, the things that we have to do every day. So we'll not take long on that. I think we agree on that. But I think one of the big things that we face as a hindrance is a low self-image. We lack self-acceptance, some more than others. I have a friend who was not wanted as a child. She knew all her lifetime she was not wanted as a child. Her mother, when this girl was 14, her mother left with the older sister who got married and just left her with an older brother, no father, just left her. And so all her life she has never felt wanted. And so anytime the least little snub comes, unintentional, it just hurts down deep inside because she has not been accepted as a child. And she has learned to be accepted in the Lord Jesus. But these things, they carry with us. And happiness is a byproduct of your self-worth. That was a quote from a secular source. But it certainly happiness goes along with our self-worth. And the tape that's mentioned here by Ruth Myers on the curing power of love. She says, we all need to feel right as a person. And we do. And it's not wrong to seek ego support. But the problem is where you seek it. If we want to be recognized by people, if we're just devastated if they don't think I'm the very best, or the least bit of criticism, and it just throws us, well, we're really not finding our self-acceptance in Jesus Christ, because he says that we are accepted in the Beloved. And he gave his very life for us. And we need to accept ourselves as we are. Warts, whatever the weakness. And we all have them of one kind or another. Some more than others. But we all have them. And we need to accept ourselves. And Ruth Myers in her tape says, no one can accept himself until he is first accepted by another. I cannot love me unless someone else loves me. So it's not wrong to seek ego support. But where do we seek it? We all need support. And the more we realize who we are in Jesus Christ, and that even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive in Christ. So in Christ we're alive and vital. And if we can accept that, then our whole countenance takes on a new expression. And people are more likely to love us and accept us and to be what he wants. But the steps in between are not always easy. We really have a hard time. But the real me has to be revived and restored by the Lord and know that we are accepted in the Beloved. I don't know if any of you want to, before we go on, well, let's go on right now and we'll get to this later. You know, there are lots of ways that we seek fulfillment that are not scriptural, that are not seeking the Lord. What are some ways you think of that we seek fulfillment? What do we try for? Other people, yes. And what is it we want from other people? We want their love, their attention,
their approval.
Oh, we really do. Yes. Yeah. And you know, we also enjoy things. We want things. The lust of the flesh, 1 John 2, you know, 15 on to 17, how it talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And in the flesh, the desire to enjoy things in a physical sense, to have our natural urges gratified. And they're right. They're right things. But we seek the wrong ways to fulfill them. And I don't think that's news to any of us. We're all very much aware of that. And we have to find them in the proper place, which is God first. I've been asked, well, now, aren't you missing out on something by not being married? You know, the sexual side of your life is not being fulfilled. You know what my answer is? Yes. But who has everything? You know? Sure, face it. Sure, everybody misses out on something somewhere. Nobody has everything. And we have to accept ourselves as we are and face the facts that this is what God designed. You know, we have problems with sex, food, drink. You know, the person that can't go to bed without a dish of ice cream. Excuse me. We all face the lust of the flesh in one way or another. And the lust of the eyes, things, possessions. Worship them instead of God. I saw in a shop the other day a little thing that says, when life gets tough, tough goes shopping. And, you know, God has given us richly all things to enjoy. But if they're taken away, does it influence my relationship to Him? Am I devastated? I'm talking about things now, not people, but things. I have had robbery twice at my home. I came in on them the second time. And I live alone, though I'm not alone very much. I have so many guests. But after the initial, sure, you know, it gets your nerves and you're kind of, after the initial shock wears off, I had friends staying with me for a little while, and then I was alone again. And they say, well, you know, aren't you afraid? Well, I came to terms with that. Because God does not, He doesn't promise any of us that we will not have problems. But He does promise that He'll be with us. And that's enough for me. So whatever the circumstances, and I don't know about what kind of hold possessions have on you, the desire to possess things, but God has a way He can take them away awful fast. You know, my car got totaled at one point. It was really my fault. Something caught my attention over here and the car ahead of me stopped. Just like that. It just takes a second. And so he can take away anything He wants to. Or circumstances can take them away. We won't blame God for all these things. Circumstances and various things. But how devastated do I get over their loss? And someone mentioned, I don't know who it was, but about the gentle and quiet spirit is very precious in God's sight. And that's 1 Peter 3:14. And God gives us things richly to enjoy as long as they don't take first place in our hearts. It's the invisible things that are really permanent. And He wants us to lay up treasures in heaven in that which lasts. And then along this line, the pride of life. The desire to achieve, to be successful and self-sufficient. Nothing wrong with that in its rightful place. Now, we hear this a lot. I don't know if the term self-actualization in the women's lib movement This is the thing. You know, no matter how it affects your family, no matter how it affects your children, no matter how it affects anything else, you are to achieve your potential. Okay, I go along with we are to achieve our potential. But our God-given potential, and in His way, in His time, He may not be using our talents to the full right now, because He may be preparing us. He may be building patience. He may be building long-suffering. He may be building character in us, so that when we do get to the place where we can use some of these God-given things a little better, why, those are just a few thoughts, but I think I got ahead of myself. Let's look at this, self-actualization. It's the third page, and I want you to go in groups of about five or six, maybe say two groups, the last two rows there and the first two rows here, and the same there. And meet as a group and fill out this. And I want you to do some thinking, and then we'll come back and discuss it. Okay? The one on self-actualization. And you can just kind of, one of you can take notes, or you can all fill in your own. But we'll have you share. We'll give you about 5 or 10 minutes to fill out this on self-actualization. You can just turn your chairs around or whatever is convenient, or go over to the side. Let's see, are there any other handouts? Okay, very good. Number one, you might get at least one illustration. Okay. Shall we come back together now? We could spend lots more time on this, I know. All right, now you're the ones. I wish I could have been in each group. I think we all would have liked to learn from one another, but we'll learn some right now. All right. The question number one, are there ever times when God might lead you into a situation where you feel your God-given abilities are not being fully used? How many said no? Okay, do we have some illustrations? Yes, excuse me. Okay. That is the typical hard one, isn't it? It really is. And I'm sure that when we get down to number four, some of you will have some good suggestions for us. Right. Okay, are there any others? Any other illustration that you thought of? Yeah. Well, yes.
Ha ha ha. was involved a lot with it, and I had a lot of catastrophes on the day of that banquet. I had so much to do, and I mentioned some of them to them, but I had a bridge in the front, my teeth fell out the night before, and I had errands to do, and I backed out of the driveway and ran over my own garbage, and dumped a whole bag of birdseed all the way, so opened the door, you know, far from the bottom, and the birdseed just fell. So I sat down on the floor, and I started to laugh.
Yeah.
You ask and I gave it to you. And from then on, I didn't even show you, but took all the preparation. I was fighting all the way.
Well, you know, some of the girls that are serving our tables over there and the fellows on the Glen are college grads, and some of are working on their masters and they're doing things like that. And they are here at the Glen for their spiritual training and character building. And here they are waiting tables. But it's, you know, it's a temporary time of their life when God is teaching them things. Okay, if so, what purpose might God have? What is He teaching, and what do you have down as your purposes? Somebody?
Build a foundation.
Build a foundation.
One purpose is 1 Corinthians 2:4 that says that the power of God might be demonstrated in our lives. That it says so that other people's faith may rest not on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God.
Excellent. What's that reference?
1 Corinthians 2:4.
Very good. Okay. Yes.
One of the things we think is to develop new areas of our life.
Good. Yeah. Yes.
His power is perfected in my weakness. And so to see more, I feel like it may be a real weakness of mine, that can be a real opportunity for God's power to be at work.
Very good. Yes. Yes.
I think also to work a grateful spirit in us and contentment. Paul said he's going to be content in whatever state he's in. And we can all be content when there are things going our way.
Yes. We know that, yes.
It breaks down pride when we're willing to fail.
It breaks down pride. Isn't that true? Very good. Okay, any other thoughts on this? Yes.
It often draws us more close to Him, and that develops a deeper relationship.
It does. We're dependent upon Him, and we're just thrust on Him. Right. Yes. Okay. We'll just briefly, can you think of a scriptural example? We'll take a couple if you can think of any. What did you put down? Did you have any scriptural? Yes.
I put down Ruth and Naomi, because when Ruth's husband died, she was left with a mother-in-law who was from a foreign country.
Yes, she was out of her element.
Really?
Right.
And not only did she want to stay with her mother-in-law, but she wanted to learn about her God. And God looked upon that heart and blessed it, and blessed Ruth in the midst of the circumstances, and gave her a second husband.
Right. Yeah. And a child that eventually the Savior came from. Yes, excuse me, back there. Oh, that's a goodie.
Where ultimately the second in charge under Pharaoh could have spent that many years as a slave in the house, in prison, all the circumstances of being sold as a slave in the first place, all those circumstances together, and what we could look at and call a wasted life in that middle section of time, he was into his element where he could do what he had the talents to do.
Yes. Joseph, right. What were you into?
I'm going to say Moses.
Moses.
He protested to God that he didn't feel he could do the job. I think he probably thought he had undergoing. But God knew what he was doing and wanted to be finished.
Yeah.
He
Okay. Yes.
In all of our lives, in Romans 8:28.
Right. Romans 8:28. All of us. Yeah. Any others offhand? Okay. Yes.
It's all the second string people like Timothy under Paul.
Right.
And Elisha under Elijah for all those years.
Uh huh.
Serving under great men.
Yeah. You even think of Paul in prison. You know, this great preacher, who this evangelist, founder of new churches, off in prison. Yeah. Yes?
Look at the many workers, the unnamed workers that worked under Nehemiah building the wall. They didn't even give the name of Scripture, but they were willing to rebuild. Many of us are put in the position of building without any recognition.
Very well put. Very good. Yes, Nehemiah's helpers. Okay, number four, what are some creative ways to find fulfillment in such circumstances? And, of course, the circumstances are where you feel your God-given abilities aren't really being used to the full. Okay? I know you have something written down, some of you. Yes?
I think one of the best ways I've found is refocusing on God, beginning to thank Him in prayer for the circumstances.
Thankfulness to God.
Mm-hmm.
Try to see his perspective. Very good.
I think we need to remember that we are not responsible so much for the outcome, but God is, because he puts in those circumstances.
God's the one who's responsible for the outcome. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a big help. Yes. And I think one of the things, like a mother with children, is to look for creative ways of having fun times together and building in their lives and building memories and, you know, using these occasions to be joyful and fun and not all drudgery. You know, our outlook, we look to the Lord and then accept our circumstances. Then we can look to the things that would make it fun. I'll give an illustration in my life. Some years ago now, my mother, actually my stepmother, because my real mother died when I was 5, and left my father with 4 small children. And that was just the beginning of all of his difficulties. He lost his business. He lost his home. The earthquake came. His business burned down. And all of these things during my childhood, which I never remember as being problems, because my father had such a strong trust in the Lord, that in my mind, he was never discouraged. We'd just go to the Lord in prayer. But anyway, my stepmother then was ill, and she was in her 80s, and there were various ways that she could have been taken care of. But the only thing that she would listen to would be that I would come home and take care of her at home. She had been a nurse, and she was not going to a hospital. They were not going to, you know, do anything to her. I was to take care of her. Well, you know, after I had been so many years in my position, felt wanted and needed and all of this, you know, and appreciated, and then to go off and you know, the menial housework. In fact, I couldn't even really, for a time there, couldn't have friends. A friend called up one time to say that I planned to have lunch with her and made all the arrangements, but that she would be a little late. And I was outdoors at the moment. Mom answered the phone and got all disturbed because she thought I was going off and leaving her. And so I couldn't even have friends for a while. But and I had a hard time with that for quite a while, until finally I told the Lord, I'll stay with Mom. And the doctor had said it could be 2 weeks or 10 years. I'll stay with Mom and do it as unto you. And then he gave real joy in it. And we had real fun times together. But I had to come to that place. And that was hard. And it ended up, I was away almost 2 years, 20 months from my job, is what it was. But, oh, I learned a lot about myself, about my selfishness. And I learned a lot. And it was really a good. but it was hard. But, you know, creative ways, like I say, once I accepted it from the Lord, then we could have fun together and we could enjoy it. And there wasn't that tension. Okay, do you have some other things down here? Yes.
Mm-hmm. The circumstances,
yes,
or the situation, and wanting to have it our own way, but say, okay, Lord, this is your reason, or this must be from your hand, and I will abide in it for you. Then comes the fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you quit bucking, that's a good way to express it. Uh-huh. Yeah, and I bucked it, you know, for a while. I really did. But when you quit bucking, and that's the Lord, why, that you've got it. Okay, well, the next thing is we really have to know ourselves, though. When we come to this business of fulfillment and contentment, we can put ourselves under the, and I don't say God's leading us, but we can put ourselves under the wrong situations and expect, just because somebody else does something, we expect that we can do it. But we are all different. It's like at one time they wanted me to have the junior church at our church. They were just looking around for somebody and, you know, nobody was volunteering and, will you take it, Millie? Well, I really prayed about it. But it took Lauren Sandy, my boss, to say, Millie, that's not your thing. You can make a greater contribution in some other way. But you would just be miserable. And that's right. That was not my thing. And though I did teach seventh grade for a while, but, you know, we have to recognize that each of us is different. And we have to know when to say no. We have to acknowledge when God is doing it or when we're putting ourselves under these strains. Let's look on the next page in our things. It's what brings fulfillment to me personally. And this, we'll just, each of you kind of fill it out as we go along or check it as you want to. This is just the very beginnings of knowing yourself. There are all kinds of personality tests and all kinds of things going on. But this will just kind of show us how we do differ. In my occupation, do I like to work alone? Or with others? Can I delegate? Do you know how to delegate? Well, maybe you're not made that way. Some can organize everything. My relationship with others. Do I listen to what others are really saying or feeling? Do I make it easy for others to share their concerns? Do I give and receive love and appreciation? Some people are just naturally that way. I know one person, she's leading another workshop here on the Glen during this conference. One evening, she visited me, and I had had another friend was there that I'd known for some time. And this other person had never met her before. Within a half an hour, she knew more about her background and had a more personal concern for this girl and was just being a friend than I had been in all the time I knew her. She just had a way. You know, she just could get next. People just knew she was interested. Well, she's a counselor in a junior high school. Perfect. That's where she should be. But along the line, she has to take two classes in math just because the budget won't allow for a full-time counselor. So, you know, she has to have her things that are not the best along with it. But, you know, in our relationships with others, we are different, but we can learn some things from others. My attitudes. Am I critical in my heart, or do I see the best in others? Am I an encourager, or do I want to be the boss of everything that's going on? Am I the one that has to have the final say? My relationship to the Lord. Do I know I am doing what God wants me to do for now? Do I truly enjoy my fellowship with the Lord? Do I have an eternal perspective? Or is everything just what's going on right now and I get so disturbed? So these are just a few things to help you think. Do you know yourself? Do you know what you're best at? Do you know where your weaknesses are? Do you know what your strong points are? And so I think to be fulfilled and content, we need to know ourselves and not expect from ourselves what we expect from others, or not expect from others what we expect from ourselves. See, it goes both ways. We have a tendency to interact with others who think like I do, who feel like I do, who react to things like I do, who are my kind, quote, quote, pride. But we need to appreciate the fact that we're not made alike and appreciate others for their gifts and help them to feel fulfilled and not feel put down because they don't do what we do. So there's all kinds of angles to this fulfillment deal. And, you know, each of us has an individual personality. We won't go into it. LaHaye has a spirit-controlled temperament. You know how some are melancholic, they're up and down, but they have deep feelings. Some are phlegmatic, they're even-tempered, you know, but you have to set a fire under them sometimes to get them going. And choleric have to lead and direct everything that's going on, a project director and self-assured. Or the sanguine, people, you know, the front person. And we all have a little bit of all of them. But we know ourselves. And there are lots of other ways, you know, our personalities, our motivations, and so forth. But I ask some of my friends, well, now what brings fulfillment to you personally? You think, what brings fulfillment to you personally? One person told me, giving. If I just give, another serving. And another one said, well, if I can meet needs and seeing people respond to instruction, I need to be needed. And another one said, well, I'm kind of artistic and creative. If I don't, you know, I have to be decorating my house or doing something artistic, or I feel at loose ends. And one told me management. Well, she happens to be the gal who arranges all the schedules for all of the Leadership Development Institute people. They have classes, they have seminars, they have work schedules. Some of them are in the dining room, some are doing this or that. You know, she has all these people to integrate. And she loves it. Management's her thing. Sometimes people get in the way, but management, you know, that's her thing. And so you have to know, you know, what is your thing? What are you good at? And but we've talked about when it's not possible, when it is possible. But then let's think just a moment. We've already talked about a lot. But what does God say will bring fulfillment? And I think we all know that it's being what God intended. And he made each of us just like he wanted us. Do you really believe that no one can keep you from God's will as long as your heart is right with the Lord? Do you really believe that deep down? Or are there people standing in your way? You know? Yes.
I think the biggest thing often stands in the way is our own self.
Our own self. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Our own self, that really does stand in the way. You know, but if we... Yes.
I believe in sovereignty.
Absolutely.
And so I
think... No. Right. Yes. Yeah. But you know, when you get down to it, it's sometimes hard because people rub us the wrong way or expect things from us. So that's an important point. But God gives each of us in the body, and Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 both talk about how each of us is different. And the eye can't say to the ear, I have no need of you, you know, and we won't go into it, but we each have our own place, and God has us there for a purpose. And, you know, the Proverbs 13:19 says, desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. And, you know, when we get what we want, if it's what God wants, we're happy. But if it's not what God wants, we're still not happy. Proverbs 13:19. Desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. So the real problem is, what do we want? And we need to want the right things in God's eyes. Well, Amy Carmichael was an invalid for years and years and years, and yet has blessed the world with her writings. And she said, only in acceptance lies peace. And that has done a lot for me through the years. To accept, only in acceptance lies peace. Okay, now we'll go on for a little bit on developing now this lifestyle of contentment that we've been talking about. And, you know, contentment is not passive. It doesn't mean just sitting down, accepting things as they are, and giving up. Contentment is an active noun. To be content, it takes a lot. You just are not automatic. We are not automatically content people. Some people more than others. But it takes work. And someone quoted earlier from Philippians 4:11. Were you the one that quoted it? I'm not sure. Anyway, how Paul learned contentment. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And it is a learning situation. And it's learning the things we've been talking about, that God is in control, that He is sovereign, that He does have our best wishes at heart. And it's a proper mental and spiritual attitude towards circumstances. But you know what our greatest problem is? The greatest hindrance, as I see it, to contentment is comparison. We compare ourselves with others. And God doesn't like that. He says, wait a minute, what's that reference? 2 Corinthians 10:12. Let's look that up. I have here the New King James. I don't know what your version says. Mine says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. And we are not to compare ourselves. It's hard not to. You know, so-and-so does so well at that particular job, or, you know, that person just gets all of the breaks. Breaks never seem to go my way. But, you know, can you rejoice with one who receives an honor that you thought that you should have? Jealousy is such a part of comparison. It's subtle. It catches us unaware. Remember when Peter said to Jesus, you know, Jesus was kind of putting the screws down on Peter to do this, and Peter said, well, what about John? Do you remember what Jesus said? What did he say? Feed my sheep. But then what also? He said something else, too. Do you? Yeah, what is that to you? follow thou me. And comparisons get in there. You know, it's not just material things. That's the least of it. It's in all kinds of ways. And he says it's not wise. Do you know, comparison brings discontent. There's no other way out. Because when you compare yourself with someone else, it's either self-pity or pride. Because you're never equal. None of us are equal. We're not equal in our backgrounds. We're not equal in our talents. In that sense, we're equal in the sight of God. But in the sense that we're all made different. So it's either self-pity sets in or pride. So it always, always breeds discontent. And covetousness or greed is closely related to comparison. And it brings discontent too. Greed is never satisfied. How much is enough? No matter what you have, it has to be more. And man's life consists not in the abundance of the things he possesses. That's Luke 12:15. He said, let your manner of life... Hebrews 13:5 is a key passage when it comes to contentment. He says, let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So be content with what you have. And I have to tell myself that. Be content with what I have. Because he will never leave you nor forsake you. And God has wonderful ways of providing our needs that are far above anything that we could ever imagine. By way of personal illustration, when we were in the early days of the Navigators, we lived in Trotman's home. And we were supposed to get $10 room and board. We never did. It was $5 a week room and board. But for a long stretch of time, it was $2 a week or maybe nothing. We didn't have it. We all pitched in. We were a big, happy family, but we didn't have, you know, these funds. And so, you know, on a Navigator salary over the years... We weren't on Social Security, so now that I'm heading for retirement age, do you know what the Lord's done? Oh, about in 1967, four of us women wanted to live together. One was a nurse, one was a school teacher, and one was a secretary in a secular office downtown, and then I worked with the Navigators. And we were in Bible studies and things together, and we just wanted to be together. But we couldn't find the right apartment, so we leased this house. And about a year later, the people said that they were going to sell the house. And so we would move, unless one of us wanted to buy it. And they would do this, you know, really a good deal. So, as it turned out, none of the others were interested. My father helped me with the down payment. The girls who have lived with me through the years... have helped pay rent and have helped with the payments. It's paid off, and I have a house. Now, see, God took care of it. I had nothing to do with it. He dropped it in my lap. And he does. If we're content with where he puts us and with what he does, then he takes care of us. And he says, be content with what you have, for I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's his promise. And we can stand in his promise that he will not. And then the other key passage to contentment is 1 Timothy 6. Let's look at that just a moment. First Timothy 6:6. We could go into the whole thing, but we'll just go with this. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. but those who desire to be riches, and it talks about the love of money and riches and so forth. But we'll go to verse 11. Flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. These things, godliness with contentment, going back to verse 6, is great gain. And to be content with the attributes that God gives rather than the things the world offers will bring contentment. But the battle is in the mind. As a man thinks, so is he. Proverbs 23:7 says. So we need to dwell in his word and believe Romans 8:28 that all things do work together for good, that he promises never to forsake us, and trust in him, be thankful for everything. You know, the best thing is a longing for the Lord. Our body has cravings demanding fulfillment, but the soul has cravings. And there's the soul side of us, you know, the search for knowledge, music, outdoors, aesthetics. But the deeper the search of the soul for God, things that are related solely to God, and they center in God so directly and so personally that nothing other than God can bring fulfillment. And we know that. And I hope that our sessions together have helped us to center our mind more upon these things, so that as the days come and go and things press in, that we know that only God can satisfy. George Failing, in an article that I read, said, "Blessed is the man, I'll say woman, who admits she has a soul. Blessed is she who admits that her soul is thirsty. Blessed is she who follows that thirst to its only source of true fulfillment." And that's in Jesus Christ. And so for fulfillment, let's turn to our handouts for our application. And we have now 15 minutes left. Before we go to this, now, are there any questions that you have or things you'd like us to discuss, or maybe a comment that's come to your attention as we've talked that you think would be helpful to someone else? I've appreciated your input, and I think it helps when you think through on some of these things yourself. Anything else that you'd like to add? Yes.
One thing, when you were mentioning comparisons with other people, I think there can also be comparisons with other situations.
Right.
The grass is always greener on the other side.
Very good, Cheryl.
I think it was mentioned, you know, the person who was in a ministry and now is applying for the Lord can always look and say, well, I was being more fulfilled back when I had ministry than in my situation now.
Right.
In a situation like that, looking back.
Good. I'm glad you added that comparison, circumstances.
Is there ever, though, a discontent that does come from the Lord, say, as a result of, you know, maybe it's not even, it could be wrong motivation, comparison with other people, you know, like that I should be doing this, but is there ever a discontent where, or a challenge?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that.
I really should be doing this when I'm saying, I'm content to stay here, I don't.
I'm glad you brought that up, Kim. Okay? Can you think of times when there might be a godly discontent? I can. The Lord might be pushing you out into something else that you've been reluctant to do. Yes. I'm glad you brought that up. Yes.
Sure,
Absolutely.
I'm lashing
yes.
Because I am discontent.
Right. Mm-hmm. You have to seek for what he wants for you right now, but not be content with it for the rest of your life. You can still be content with today, but he gives you a discontent for because he wants to kind of lead and guide your circumstance. I'm glad you brought that up. It's very important.
Are there, he does that with our learning the word, too. If we're not continuously saying, I want more.
Right. Very good. Any other thoughts? Well, let's turn in, and you'll just be on your own the rest of the time. You'll notice that this application part now, there are three sections for you to select, and then just select one other person. Maybe you'll see somebody else is ready at that time. They might be across the room and just say, well, let's pray together. And the last two are to pray with one other person. And then you're free to go to lunch. Okay?